Amen. All right, check this out. There was this dietitian, and she's addressing this large audience in Chicago, and she began her presentation with this serious warning. She said, listen, guys, the material that we put in our stomachs is enough to have killed most of us sitting here years ago. Red meat, she said, is awful, and soft drinks erode our stomach lining, and Chinese food is loaded with MSG. Vegetables can be disastrous, and none of us realizes the long-term harm caused by the germs just in our drinking water. But there is one thing, she said, the most dangerous of all, and we all have or will eat it. And can anyone here tell me what food it is that causes the most grief and suffering for years after eating it? And just then, a 75-year-old man in the front row, he stood up and said, wedding cake. I was thinking chicken, personally. That was a given. But wedding cake? Whoa. How many guys would say that's probably a sign that guy didn't have a very high view of marriage, right? Just not good. And apparently he's not the only one. One guy said this. Hey, yeah, I understand marriage is an institution, but who wants to live in an institution, right? And another guy said this. Yeah, marriage means commitment, but so does insanity, right? And we've been seeing, folks, the theme of our study. Is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage back in the Garden of Eden? No. Now, we do need to acknowledge that Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, so they blew it for the chances of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is that doesn't mean we got to resign ourselves, even as Christians, to live a life of silent suffering and personal pain. It just means it's going to take some time and it's going to take some work. Why? Because contrary to society, marriages are not made in heaven. They're made where? Right here on earth. And I'm telling you, folks, if you don't get this here and now, even as a Christian, you are not going to be able to understand why men and women do what they do even when they get married. Like this guy shares. Watch.
What scares me the most about marriage is the fact that men and women don't even look at marriage the same way. When women talk about marriage, it's a happy occasion. I'm getting married. I got my ring. I got my colors picked out. I got four of my fat friends to stand next to me. It's gonna be a beautiful day. No, their dress is ugly. Mine is pretty. But it's not the same for the men. When men talk about marriage with our friends, it sounds like something you get diagnosed with. Did you hear what happened to Charles? No, what? He's getting married. No! I just seen him last week. When did he find out? She told him yesterday at dinner. Is there anything that we could do for him? No, the invitations already went out. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah, you know it's true, and that's why we're laughing, and that's why we're going to continue our study, A Marriage Built to Last. Man, I'm here to help you. It's easy. Score some points. How many of you men would like to have a marriage built to last? Raise your hand. Praise God, you're finally catching on. It took 3 weeks, but who's counting? I am. Okay, and folks, it's pretty simple. In our study, we've already seen, if you've been tracking with us, the first step we need to acknowledge, if we're going to have a marriage built to last, God's definition of marriage, okay, is that men and women are different, okay? And it sounds pretty basic, but that was very profound, okay, with that. And then last time, if you were here, we saw the second step was to acknowledge that love is an action. And there, what we saw, contrary to society, true love, biblical love, is not just a mere feeling that's up and down and all over the place, right? True love, biblical love, that will hold your marriage all the way to the end requires what? Agapao. It's a verb. It's an action, right? That requires no stipulations and a solid commitment all the way to the end, including on your journey, even when your body begins to change. You better have the true definition of love going on, like this guy shares. Watch this.
If you do find someone to love, and you're realizing and trying to figure out if you're going to go the distance with this person, you have to realize the person you're dating is not the person you're going to spend most of your years with. That's why people split up. You have to think far out, 30 years out. What is this person going to be then? When you're dating, that's young and sexy. That's the sales model. That's what moves it off the showroom floor. You got to think 30 years out. Picture your man now, three times the size. Just a snowman of blubber around his existing body. And bald. He's going to be bald. Or worse, just three hairs. Like a doll that's been caught in a fire. No more cool clothes. Comfortable clothes. Yeah. Elastic waistbands and terry cloth material. Yeah, and Crocs for adults. Yeah, that he wears with socks, because sometimes it's cold in the morning when you're getting the paper. Same thing with your girl. Young, beautiful, long hair. When she's old, it gets cut short. It goes straight up in a poof. Like she's surprised. All old ladies look surprised. Surprise! I'm still here. I almost slipped, but I didn't. And all she remembers about fashion, she likes flowers. That's all she wears. Shower curtain dress filled with flowers. One on each toe, one on her surprise head. Who wants to play cards? You want your marriage to last? You need a little funny looking in it. No, you need to look across the table and think, where are you gonna go?
Oh, it's true. You're going to change. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It ain't the same when you first started. So you need to have biblical love, God's love, no stipulations, solid commitment, no matter the changes, all the way to the end. And this is what's cool. When you get that, you come to this important realization. You don't marry the person of your dreams. This is actually what takes place. Watch this.
I would tell all these girls, I'm like, you have this dream list of what you want in a guy, but you're setting yourself up for failure because you're going to grow together. You don't marry the person of your dreams. You become the person of each other's dreams throughout time. And so
Write that on the
releasing
Hall of
those
Famer quotes.
Two clips for this.
Yeah. Wow. Releasing the expectations of like what I thought James should be and who I thought I should be and just enjoying the moment and growing together. I wish I could go back in time and just go, it's fine. Mm-hmm. We're going to argue. We're going to fight. We're going to have disagreements, but we're also going to have a lot of fun.
Why? Because you did it God's way. And you loved each other with God's kind of love. You don't marry the person you dream. Over time, you become that dream. When you do it God's way. And you have a marriage built to last. But I'm still preaching on a Corky, so guess what? There's got to be more. That's right. That's an amazing high-pitched voice you got along with that jacket. There is more. And that's why the third step we need to acknowledge, if we're going to have a lasting marriage, is the need for what?
Romance.
Well, wait a second. We just talked about it. It's not about feelings. Well, guess what? We're balancing it out today, right? Even though we need biblical love, that's the foundation. It doesn't mean that you know, it's nice to have some passion once in a while, right? Praise God, all none of you. I'm glad you're here. You go, hopefully it will change by the time we're done, right? But open your Bibles to Song of Solomon. You're going to see this great book in the Bible, right? And just as a code word, you're going like, Song of Solomon? What is that? You know, some of your translation may say Song of Songs, okay? And if you want some help, just basically go to about the middle section, look for that section that is like the pages are like super crispy white, no wrinkles whatsoever. Like you've probably never been in it too, unfortunately. Okay. But you're going to see, this is a great book in the Bible about relationships, about marriage. Okay. Lots of great things. And this couple is on fire. They are passionate in each other and there's a lot of great things they're doing that we need to remind ourselves as husbands and wives, to keep that passion going. But let's go ahead and stand as we read Song of Solomon chapter 5. We're going to read verses 10 through 16. Now this is the lady. And boy, she is just calling out her man, right? And listen to this stuff. This is stuff, this is just amazing, right? But let's take a look. Verse 10 says this. Watch this. Here's what she says. My lover is radiant and ruddy. Outstanding among what? 10,000. This guy is a hot stud muffin. It's basically, I'm going to kind of translate the vernacular as you go. This is seriously what's going on. Watch this. His head is purest gold. His hair is wavy and black as the raven. He took a shower and cut his hair. This guy's. His eyes are like doves by the water streams, washed in milk, mounted like jewels. His cheeks are like bed of spice, yielding perfume. This guy smells good. He put on cologne. He took a shower. Woo! His lips are like lilies, dripping with myrrh. Watch this. His arms are wrought of gold, set with chrysolite. His body's like polished ivory, decorated with sapphire. His legs are pillars of marble, set on base. This guy works out, man. He is pumped. Woo! Look at this guy, right? His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as seeds. His mouth is sweetness itself. He even brushed his teeth. Woo! Wow. He is altogether lovely. This is my lover. This is my friend. Oh, daughters of Jerusalem. You maybe see if you can. But I know secretly some of you are going like, I didn't know this was in the Bible. I need to read it more. Right? This is hot stuff, right? But how many guys would say just in that section, that lady was romantically involved with her lover there, okay? And it was. In fact, if you read this whole Song of Solomon, it was actually in Jewish customs. They wouldn't let you read it when you were younger. This is a couple's book. It's a great book. It's a book in the Bible, and all of God's word is good for us. And that's what you're going to see. It's a book about a couple whose relationship is filled with tons and tons of romance, and they're going back and forth constantly. And because of that, you can see, whoa, lots of passion. Lots of passion in the relationship, okay? And again, this is the balancing point. We saw last time that true love, biblical love, that you need to hold your marriage together to stand the test of time. It's not based on a feeling. Okay, it's an action, it's a verb, okay, but here's my point. That does not mean that we have no need of romance during our marriages, right? You keep it going, it's okay, right? But see, this is the problem. For some reason, that natural abundant supply of romance that we did before we got married, which kind of helped you get married because you're doing all this romance stuff, you were excited, you had the googlies, you were naturally, nobody had to tell you, you didn't have to come to a sermon, you didn't even read the Song of Solomon. You just naturally romance each other. That's why you felt so, that's what led you to get married. But for some reason, when you get married, man, it's just like the spigot gets shut off. And then you always know those couples that have been married for a while and haven't romanced for a while, because when they finally get around to doing it, it comes across like this couple. Watch this.
Your hands are so strong, like man hands.
Usually when I look at you, I'm going to punch you in the face. Mm-hmm. But lately, not so much.
That is the sweetest thing a woman's ever said to me.
What woman is giving you compliments?
Oh,
see what I'm saying?
There it is. Yeah. Ready to blast me.
That's not how you do it, man. All right? Well, what happens is you haven't romanced for a long time. You finally get around to it, and it's like, what? You really think that's going to work? I don't think so. But we laugh about that because it's like, really? It's turned into that? Now, it's not only true, but let me give you the breakdown. Ladies, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is right. Let me give you the classic breakdown of the first 7 years of romance. And you tell me if this doesn't sound familiar, right? Here's how it typically goes. The first year, right? You're newlyweds. Right? The husband said, oh, sweetie pie, I'm really worried about those nasty sniffles you have. There's no telling what it could turn into with all the strep that's been going around. I'm going to take you right down to the hospital. I'm going to have you admitted for a couple days of rest. I know the food's lousy there, so I'm going to bring you some takeout. What? That's right, from the Bellagio. I've already arranged it with the head nurse. Woo-wee! Second year. Listen, honey, I don't like the sound of that cough. I called the doc, and he's going to stop by here and take a look at you. And hey, why don't you just go on to bed and get the rest you need? Third year. Hey, maybe you better go lie down, darling. I mean, when you feel lousy, you need the rest. I mean, I'll bring you something. Do we got any canned soup around here? Fourth year. Hey, no sense wearing yourself out when you're under the weather. Hey, when you finish those dishes and bathe the kids and get them to bed, you ought to go to bed yourself. Fifth year. Hey, why don't you take a couple of aspirin, will you? Oh, boy. Sixth year, for Pete's sake, will you stop sneezing on me? Are you trying to give me pneumonia or something? You better pick up some Kleenex where you're at the store. Seventh year, oh boy, for crying out loud, can't the guy get any sleep around here? Why don't you go gargle or something instead of sitting around barking like a seal all night long? Yeah, it's called nervous laughter because you don't want to laugh too much because you know you're going to get in trouble on the way home. Right? But it's a nervous laughter because why? It's so sneaking true. It happens, folks, to all of us, right? That natural abundant supply of romance that, led up to getting married. You get married, where'd it go? Where'd it go? And so if we're going to have a marriage built to last, then we need to realize, listen, we need to romance each other, not just before, we need to do it after. And I'm going to break it down for you. Okay, romance. How do you do that? Right? Well, that's usually how guys, I'm going to help us out. Because you tell us what to do, we'll do it. You just got to tell us, right? So I'm going to break it down, right? Basically, how you romance each other, we naturally did this, but we didn't really put it all together. It's by you fill what's called each other's love tank, right? And I call the love tank the romance receptacle, right? And here's how it works. You can balk at this, kick at this, say, yeah, whatever, it's not us. It's a universal principle everywhere. And here's the rule. Here's how it works. When the romance receptacle is full, guess what? So is the passion. When the romance receptacle is empty, guess what? So is the passion, right? That's just how it works, okay? But here's the good news, folks. I want to encourage you today. Even if right now, today, in your marriage, your love tank is dry, crusty, or even rusty, it can be filled again in no time if you just do it in the way that the Scripture, yes, the Scripture, begins to outline for us. And there's five practical ways that we see in the Song of Solomon. Why were these guys so passionate? How'd they keep it going, man? These guys were, whoa, Could that really? Can I? I thought that was just, you know, before we got married, and that just, that's what happens to everybody. It just turns into, hey, you got man hands. No, no, you really can have a passionate marriage, okay? And the first one biblically is you romance each other, you fill each other's love tank with what's called special gifts. Special gifts, okay? And again, this is what we see in Song of Solomon. Watch this, this is cool. She says this, chapter 6, 2-3. My lover has gone down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to browse in the gardens, to gather what? Lilies. I am my lover's, and my lover is my, and he browses among the lilies. Woo! This guy's going to get her some flowers. That's what's going on here, right? He's looking in the floral shop. Look at the flowers. He ain't just looking. He's bringing some home. This guy's awesome. That's what's going on. She is excited this guy got her some flowers. In other words, a special gift. He went out of his way and got her something special. It's a way of expressing our love and appreciation. Now, that's kind of guys, we kind of get this when we are courting each other and things of that nature. Guys, especially for girls, you know, it's always the flowers. Get her flowers, get her flowers. And that's great. That's great. Okay? But usually, ladies, to be honest with you, when it comes to giving special gifts for guys, don't get us flowers. No, I'm serious. Don't get us flowers. Get us a tool set. Get us something manly like that. I'll even take a cheeseburger and fries. But don't flowers. You got to get something manly. Right? Okay. But really, ladies, guys are typically, when it comes to special gifts, buying stuff for us, we're actually fairly simple. Okay? In fact, we're so simple, it drives you up a wall. Right? Watch this.
Men are so simple, we freak you out. We're so simple, you can't get to it. Men are simple. We're so simple, it bothers you. You don't understand the simpleness of men. Okay, this is how simple a man. This is two men in a car, and he make a wrong turn. Dude, man, that's it. You'll turn left and come back. That's how simple, that's solid. This is you with your wife. Oh God! Oh! Why would you turn there? Why? Let's just go home. I don't even want to go now. I don't even want to go. The whole night is ruined because I turned left. I can turn back around. No, I have a headache now. Men sometimes heard, this is men, this is what we do to speak you up. This is a man acknowledging you. Okay, that means I heard you. But that's not enough for a woman. Okay, now say it back, say it back. Say what I said. Oh, now it's an SAT test. I have to pass the test.
And ladies, it's the simpleness of men that, frankly, let's be honest, it's I'm not here to compete, but it's just, we're kind of simple to buy stuff for. It's not that complicated. Right? In fact, let me give you a balancing point, right? For instance, what I've learned, guys, pay attention. Ladies, you can correct me if I'm wrong. What most men, women want is they want to simply this. Here's what they want. They want to be loved. They want to be listened to. They want to be desired. They want to be respected. They want to be needed. They want to be trusted. And sometimes they just want to be held. Right, ladies? For men, though, we just want tickets to the game. Right? We are simple. Right? And again, when you're taking a look at special gifts, honestly, on top of that, because we're simple, it didn't take much, right? In fact, our gifts oftentimes are very inexpensive, right? Like this one. Watch this. Buy him this.
You ever notice how winding your window down by hand makes you look lower middle class? There's a cheap way to fix that. First of all, what you want to do is get the window winder right off there. Throw that away. Next, get yourself one of these battery-powered mixer, hand mixers. Here. You ever notice on these how the blades go in opposite directions? Remember that. I'm going to be referring back to that later on. These are real cheap, especially if the blades are missing. Okay, now to wind the window up, all I do is stick one of these blade receptacles over the window winder shaft and then just hit the button. How do I wind it down? Well, that's where that reversing direction thing comes in that I was referring to earlier. I just pop that on.
It's that simple. It didn't take much to please us. And it's cheap, right? And so here's the point. If your marriage is a little low on the passion lately, then this first step, we see it in Song of Solomon. When was the last time you got your spouse a special gift without being asked, without just, I'm in trouble, or you're expecting to? When was the last time you bought your spouse a card for no reason? I'm just giving you some examples. When was the last time you surprised, men, your wife, with flowers? And it's not because you did something wrong. Or when was the last time you put a little love note under the pillow or something? And this is no joke. I've actually heard this happening to couples. You know, typically the wives, they'll do a little love note in the guy's lunch that they make. They'll put it in the sandwich. Don't do that. They'll eat it. Right? It kind of ruins the moment. I'm not joking. I'm serious. Like, or watch this. One guy, I'm not joking. He really got into this romance thing. He decided to surprise his wife by putting a teddy bear in the back of the freezer. And so that one day when she's looking for something to cook, she'll find it. Just a random thing. No joke, right? But take it from that guy. He says, listen, make sure she doesn't find that rock hard frozen teddy bear when she's mad at you. She's going to knock you out with it, right? Okay. But seriously, it's these special gifts, right? Just out of the blue, spontaneously, not because you're in trouble. It's just special gifts. It's a practical way to show your love and affection for each other. That's the first way to fill your love tank. The second one is what's called not time. It's called what? Quality time. It has to be quality to get that. And again, this is another biblical example we see in this passionate couple, the Song of Solomon. Now, chapter 2, verse 8, 10. Notice the exclamation points. She is going nuts. And you're going to see why. Listen, my lover. Look. Why? Why is she so excited? Because here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My lover's like a gazelle and like a young stag. Look. There he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My lover spoke and said, what? Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. And what? And come with me. This guy has not only got her flowers, he's asking her to go out. No wonder she's excited. Right, ladies? Woo-wee. And he wants to spend some quality time. Now, here's where it gets difficult. Oftentimes, especially if we haven't romanced each other in a while, then we typically resort to the first one, special gifts. Okay, I'll give him flowers. Believe it or not, for some spouses, special gifts doesn't do the job. I mean, it's okay, but it's not really big high on our list. Sometimes it's this, quality time. And again, the rule is quality time. Not just time, not just staring at each other, not looking at each other's phones while you're not doing it. It's quality time. You're engaged, you're there, you want to do it, okay? And whenever you don't ruin it like this guy did. Watch this. This is sad. A husband and wife, they had not spent some quality time for many months. And so I kid you not, on one Saturday, the wife, she's in the kitchen, she's finishing up the dinner dishes, and the husband comes in the kitchen, he goes, hey, would you like to go out, girl? Without even hesitating, she goes, oh, yeah, I'd love to. So I kid you not, in no time, they were having this wonderful evening together, but at the end of the evening, the husband finally confessed that the question had actually been directed to the family dog lying on the kitchen floor. Would you like to go out, girl? First of all, that guy must have ate chicken or something. Because that's the dumbest thing you could ever done. He had a good thing going, right? Yeah, just leave it alone. You stumbled into success, right? But you ruined it. Why? Because you didn't really want to be. No! If you're going to spend time together, you got to want to, number one. You got to enjoy it. You got to be there. It's got to be quality time, not stare at each other's phone time, not talking time. It's just you got to be engaged with it. And then when you get there, okay, maybe you want to be there, but don't ruin it. Don't overcomplicate it. Right? Don't turn it into something stressful. Don't sweat the small stuff. Just enjoy your time. Don't do what this guy did. Watch this.
I love going down south to eat, man. Down south, they have some good restaurants like this Cracker Barrel. Yeah. Oh, down south, man, they're like, oh, we're going to take you to the barrel, Timbo. We're going to treat you right at the barrel. Y'all have Cracker Barrel here. It's not that great, is it? No, it's not. It's like you're eating at a garage sale, for crying out loud. There's stuff hanging all over the walls. Rusty farm equipment over your head. Hey, can we get a table not directly under the horse castrator? It's a thin thread right there. I need some more golf tees for this triangular game. All six left. I'm an ignoramus! The Cracker Barrel. They don't have omelets at the Cracker Barrel. It's supposed to be this breakfast place. I'm like, y'all ain't got no omelet? No, we ain't got no omelet. That was my waitress. We ain't got no omelet. She wasn't even chewing gum. I don't know what. Like, you ain't got omelets now. What you see is what you get.
Y'all got some eggs?
Yeah, we got eggs.
You got some peppers and sausage and mushrooms?
Yeah.
Think you can think outside the box for a little bit, Eric? sure we can work something out here, kitty. Draw you a schematic if I have to. All right. I love Southern waitresses at the Cracker Barrel, man. That's why I'm just trying to order food. I don't know what she's talking about. You know? I'm like, how are the biscuits and gravy? Oh, they make you want to slap your mama. Then I don't think I'm going to get the biscuits and gravy. Being my mama's here and all, that would be kind of awkward. How are the pancakes? Oh, they make you want to hit your daddy with a baseball bat. Do you have a less violent menu I could take a look at? I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want some food. That's what she said verbatim. Oh, they make you want to slap your mama. Are the biscuits that good? You're like... Mama, you might want to go out in the car for a while.
Don't complicate it. You're out there. You're doing the right thing. Just enjoy yourself, right? Don't sweat the small stuff, right? You got to want to be there. You want to enjoy. You want to be engaged, but don't ruin it, okay? It's got to be quality time. And so ask yourself, in seriousness, if your marriage has been a little low on the passion lately, ask yourself, when was the last time you really did go to a restaurant alone, husband and wife, and it wasn't the Cracker Barrel? Or when was the last time you came home and you actually talked to your spouse with quality time? When was the last time you spent an afternoon doing something your spouse likes to do? It's this quality time that goes a long way in filling each other's love tank. The third biblical example we see is, how do you fill that love tank? Well, you give each other positive words. And for those of you who are financially responsible, which is a code word for cheap, you really should love this one because it doesn't cost nothing. You just got to open your mouth, right? And again, this is another thing that we see with this couple. They're going crazy. They're doing everything right, right? Song of Solomon 1, 2 through 3. Watch this. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. She is bragging on this guy. Right? This guy is awesome. And no wonder he's put it all together so far. He's getting her flowers. He's taking her out. It's quality time. And she's bragging. He is a stud muffin, basically. This guy's awesome. This is my man. Yeah. Giving him positive words. And again, that's really what's going on here. And if you recall, again, before we got married, we kind of naturally did this. It's kind of a weird thing that happens to couples. Somewhere along the line in the relationship before you get married, all of a sudden, it's a spontaneous thing. And all of a sudden, you make up those pet names for each other, right? You move beyond your first name, right, to pet names, right? And it turns into, hey, honey pie. Hey, schnookums. Stud muffin. Remember that? It's right? You know it's true, right? And again, that's a positive word. It was a natural thing we did. You need to keep that going after you get married. Affirmations, positive affirmations, affectionate affirmation. And for men, I'm going to break it down for you. I'm going to give you some examples. I don't know how to do it. I'm going to give you an example. These are some things that I've learned. Men, it might be something as simple as this. And I want you to repeat after me after I say it, right? I'm serious. No, that's it. It took me 3 times with the first service, so don't disappoint me. Watch this. It might be something... positive affirmation to your wife. Didn't cost you nothing. It fills their love tank. It's something as simple as this. Hey, you look nice in that outfit. Try it. Go ahead. Say it. Hey, yeah. Or this one. Watch this. Wow. I like what you did with your hair. Try it.
Wow. I like what you did with your hair.
And it works. Right? I tell you what. And then, but here's the problem, especially with guys. Now, ladies, not that you can't do this, but I know this is a guy thing. We're starting to get onto this positive thing, positive words, whatever. But see, we mix it with sarcasm. Don't do that, man. I'm all about humor. You know me. But you could push it too far with sarcasm. Whatever you do, don't do what this guy did when he was shopping with his wife. Watch this.
You know, so there's this women's clothing store I see a lot. Well, out around here. Women's clothing store. The actual name of the store is the Dress Barn. Dress Barn. That's the best name you could come up with, then. That's the one you want to go with. I think I'm ever taking my wife to a place called the Dress Barn.
Hey, let's go to the dress barn. Dress barn. What are the people like that work at the dress barn? Can I help? Yeah! That blouse is right over here. Yeah. It's only 20.
Ah, this is a hard one for me to get myself. I'm telling you, I get sarcasm. It's funny, man. It's funny, and it's good to have a sense of humor. Laughter is good medicine. That's biblical and all that stuff. But listen, you got to be careful. You better pick your timing. You better know the mood. You better know your place, okay? But you got to be careful when you're giving a positive word that you don't mix it with sarcasm. I know you're trying to be funny, but you could ruin it. For instance, watch this. If your wife comes into the living room and she's wearing one of those face masks, right, and she's got cucumbers on her eyeball, her head's full of curlers, I'm telling you, it is not a good time to be sarcastic. Because she's going to see you looking at her kind of weird, and she's going to get defensive and say, well, I just set my hair. And you're going to be tempted to say, oh, yeah, what time's it go off? I'll do that. I'm testing you. And whatever you do, don't get sarcastic when your wife announces she's going to the beauty parlor. And don't say, hey, you're going in for an estimate? You're going to get the job done this time. That's not funny. It doesn't work. And whatever you do, don't answer this question. Watch this.
Sarcasm, because that's what attracted me to her. Here's an example. We were eating breakfast one morning. One morning, just sitting at the breakfast, minding my own business, whistling. That's the kind of good mood I was in, whistling. Could explain why I didn't hear her ticking on the other side of the table. I just wanted to butter a waffle. You know what I'm talking about, man? You just want to butter a waffle. No family business, no talk, no nothing. Butter a waffle. So I said, sweetheart, could you pass me the butter knife? Of course, now I'm thinking something must be bothering Buttercup. So I ask, something on your mind? She says, I'm fat. There's not a man in this room knows you can't respond to that. A twitch of the eye will get you killed at this point. If you're a newlywed, trust me, your wife ever says she's fat, you become mannequin man. You don't move a muscle.
You got to learn it. Mannequin man. I'm telling you what. So again, you got to be careful with your words. Guys, I know you're trying to be funny, whatever, and be careful how you respond. Okay, it's a positive word. Okay, now let's flip it around. Ladies, I want to make it practical for you too. I don't know of a guy who doesn't like to hear this from his wife. Hey, you're looking mighty handsome today. Go ahead, try it. Try it. Well, thank you. That was kind of awkward. My wife's right here. You're supposed to do that to your spouse. Hello. Okay. But and seriously, I don't know a man on the planet, ladies. This is so easy. It didn't cost you a dime, right? I don't know a man who doesn't like to hear this from his wife. Hey, you the man. Say it. Say it. Try it, right? Watch him light up, right? It works, especially if you mean it. And that's the whole point. And so here's the point. This is a biblical opportunity, right? If your marriage is a little low in the passion lately, then ask yourself, when was the last time you simply gave each other and you truly meant it and you didn't ruin it? A positive word. It goes a long way in filling that love tank, okay? Now, the fourth way, biblically, to fill each other's love tank is acts of service, right? Don't just say it. You what? Show it. And that's another thing this couple is doing. They're doing everything right. No wonder they're like, woo-wee, exclamation point city, right? Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 3 through 5. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my lover, among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit sweet to my taste. Watch this. He has taken me to the banquet hall. Vegas term, we're going to the buffet. Woo-wee, man. And his banner over me is love. Strengthen me with raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. No wonder this lady is in love. This guy is awesome. He's giving her flowers, right? And he's sitting there. He's doing quality time, taking her out, man. He's doing all these special quality time and these gifts for her and all this stuff and positive words. And now on top of that, he brings her food, which is an act of service, right? And again, this is it's a huge thing. And again, as I said, it's the old saying, don't just say you love me, what? Show. That's acts of service. Show it, okay? And it goes a long way. Now, man, I hate to share this, but this was from a pastor's wife. And she said that, you know, men need to do the dishes once in a while. And he said, hey, man, that's not a man's job. And I kid you not, she actually quoted this. She said, quote, 2 Kings 21:13, I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. It actually says that. Now, number one, before you get too excited, ladies, number one, that was not Brandy, okay, my wife, who came up with that verse. Okay, number two, that's not what that verse is talking about. Okay, it's a joke. It's a funny. It's like the old classic, book in the Bible that tells us that men are the ones who's supposed to make the coffee. Hebrews, right? It's what it is. So don't get too crazy about that, okay? But here's my point, okay? The acts of service, doing something, not when you're in trouble, just doing it as an act of service. If your marriage is a little low on the passion lately, ask yourself, man, listen, when was the last time that you did help with the dishes without your wife asking, and it wasn't because you're in trouble or you wanted something? That's an act of service. When was the last time you took the trash out before it got 12 feet tall? Are you guys one of those families that I call it trash Jenga? That Jenga game where it's a big old tower and you try to pull it, well, it's in reverse. You see how high you can get it before the other person can't take it and takes it out? And you just delicately stack it up. Hey, I know it's nobody here, but right, but when was the last time you took the trash out? Without, I mean, that's an act of service, okay? And men, sometimes it's a sacrifice. For instance, maybe your wife wants a special coffee, and you got to be willing to put up with this. Watch this.
Here's the thing, though. You just got to learn. It's real simple. Just learn what they want. Just the little things, little details, guys. Just learn what they want. Study them. If you go to Starbucks, learn their drink. Like when you go to the drive-thru, learn what they like to drink at Starbucks. It'll blow her mind. It will, because women are, that's a hard drink. They're very complicated. Men are easy at Starbucks. You know, you ever go to the drive-thru? Can I help you? Yeah, give me a mint coffee, no cream. Honey, what do you want? Okay, here's what I want. Listen, this is what I want. I want a tall, skinny, sugar-free, decaf, soy, vanilla latte, extra hot, whipped cream, double sleeve, no cup. Please tell me you got that, please. I'd like to change my order to a large whiskey, just a large cup of whiskey, because I'm going to drive away and off a cliff. I don't want it to hurt so bad.
It's going to be a sacrifice sometimes, right? We laugh because it's true. Now, let's flip it around. Ladies, when was the last time that you sacrificed like that and you brought your husband a cup of coffee? Just spontaneously, without having to be asked. Right? Or you wanted him to do the dishes or some other chore. You just did it. It's the same thing. It works both ways. When was the last time you spontaneously cooked him his favorite meal? You know that one. The one that's got gravy and it's greasy. It's horrible. He'll probably have heartburn for 3 days. It'll spike his sugar levels. But he likes it. When was the last time he said, I'm just going to do it? That's an act of service. And it goes a long way, folks, in showing your practical love and affection for each other, and it helps to build that love tank. Now, the fifth and final way, according to the Song of Solomon, how do you keep that romance going? It's physical touch. Physical touch. And again, this is another example we see with this couple. Song of Solomon 5:2-4. Watch this. I slept, but my heart was awake. Listen! Woo! My lover is knocking. My lover thrust his hand through the latch opening. My heart began to pound for him. Woo! Wee! One touch from this guy, and it was happening, right? And that's what's going on here is physical touch. Now, man, when it comes to physical touch, this one, as far as the romance physical touch, it's a tough one for you and I to catch on to because we think with one little touch, it's going to lead to something else. Not always. Sometimes, but not always. And now, let me give you a couple rules when it comes to physical touch. There's typically two rules. One, the Bible says that when a man and woman get married, when you get married, your bodies no longer belong to yourselves, and so on a regular basis, you do need to be sensitive to your spouse's intimate needs, because if you don't, you're going to actually invite trouble in your marriage. Temptation, it's not good, right? 1 Corinthians 7:5, do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that who? Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And again, we're going to deal with this in much greater detail, Lord willing, in a future study if we're still alive and still here. Because it's a very, very important topic in marriage. Okay, but the Bible's very clear. Just in general, we're talking about physical touch, right? If you're going to deprive or refrain, it's only for a brief period. And it better not be some emotional game or blackmail or what are all the other games that get played. It better be for spiritual reasons, right? And you got to, this is serious. Otherwise, what do you say you're going to invite in your marriage? Satan. Satan, temptation. That's not good, right? There's a reason. You got to have that, okay? Now, the other rule when it comes to intimacy in a marriage, and again, we'll deal with this in greater detail, it's this, and this is what men we usually miss. When it comes to intimacy in our marriages, men, we're more like microwave ovens. Ladies, you're more like crock pots. That's the rule. And that's what we men usually miss, right? We think microwave oven, we did one thing and psh, it's automatic. No, you got to work at it through the day. It's a crock pot. Takes a while to heat up. You got to do this and that and add a little this and add a little that. And again, we're going to get into this in much greater detail. But because we don't understand that, men, sometimes we resort to trickery like this guy. Watch this. A man, he wakes up his wife during the night with a glass of water in one hand and two aspirins in the other. And so, of course, she goes, what's this? What's this for? And he says, well, it's for your headache. And she goes, but I don't have a headache. And he smiles and goes, gotcha. Men, you can pay me later for that technique. Okay. But seriously, folks, I'm talking about physical touch. Now, intimacy, again, we're going to have a whole study, Lord willing, later on that in all seriousness. But I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about physical touch, filling each other's love tank. And it could be something like this, just holding hands. Doesn't mean something's going to happen. It's just physical touch, holding hands, especially in public, receiving a hug, snuggling with each other on the couch, you know, like you used to automatically do before you got married. What happened? Why'd you stop? Physical touch, if you're low on the passion lately, just get back to it. It doesn't mean it's going to end up into something else. Maybe it will, but it doesn't always have to be. It's important for your spouse's need, okay? It's a practical way of just, with the physical touch, showing your love and affection for each other. And again, at this point, you might be saying, Pastor Billy, this is great stuff. Again, I had no clue that this stuff was in the Bible. I got to start reading it more. It's awesome. Everything we need for life and godliness, including our marriages, is right here in the Word. Amen. You just got to read it and do it, okay? But you might be thinking, Pastor Billy, this is great stuff. You talk about practical. You can't get any more practical than this. Five different ways to fill my spouse's love tank. But here's my problem. I don't know which one of these five that works for my spouse. Now, frankly, if you're asking that question, kudos to you. That means you're paying attention. Number two, that also is the appropriate question to ask, because what I've noticed, and I've dealt with this in lots of marital counseling over the years, is spouses that have typically not romanced each other for a while, and they know they need to get back to that to add some passion in the relationship again, they will typically revert to what they did when they were courting, right? And maybe it works. But see, what happens is sometimes the love, they change over the years because things change, not only your bodies, but your needs change. You go through different stages in your marriage, stages of life. So for instance, you might go, oh, it's special gifts. And so I'll go back to get her flowers like I used to. But what if it has changed? And so here's what I see, and it works both ways, right? I used to do acts of service to my husband. You know, I do make him this or whatever, and he just doesn't seem to be responding. Because it's changed, but you didn't communicate, you're doing the right thing. You're romancing your spouse again, but you picked the wrong one. It's okay, but it's not top on the list. And so what happens is you don't get the result that you think it should get, and then you'll keep it up. But over time, because you're not getting the results, you'll be tempted to think it's a waste of time, it's not working, and you'll go back. That's the trap. So I want you to avoid the trap. And I've learned this, you got to get very practical, right? If you don't know which of these five methods fills your spouse's love tank, then we're ready for our third action step. And you know the routine. If your spouse is here with you today, then turn your head. Yes, again, that means turning your head. You have to look at them, okay? Now, if your spouse is not here, then again, practice with a chair. Don't get too freaky about it, okay? But here's what I'm going to do. I'm serious. I have learned, I don't want you to waste any of your time. Right? If you know you need to get back to romancing each other, let's just cut to the chase, right? And I want you to just turn to your spouse, and if you don't know which one of these fives, here you go, the big bombshell. Ask them. It's that simple. In fact, I'm going to help you out, right? Ladies, you're going to start with you, and you're going to tell your husband which of these five are your top two. Now, again, there's special gifts, quality time, positive words, acts of service, physical touch. You're going to tell him which are the top two in your life right now. If all he could pick was two, what are the two that really work for you right now? Special gifts, quality time, positive words, acts of service, physical touch. Then, when you're done, men, I want you to share with your wives which are your top two at this stage, okay? And to help you out, I'm going to play some appropriate music for 30 seconds to get the job done. Ready? Look at each other. Get ready. Ready, go. Okay, men, your turn. All right, now just a heads up, because you guys did it too, like the first service. Those of you that looked at me the whole time, you are in jeopardy when you're going home, because you should have done it. I told you, you won't listen, right? But this is the good news, folks. I don't care. I've learned this principle throughout the years. It happens if you would just do what God says to do. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about biblical principles. And as James says, you'll be blessed in all you do. If you not hear, you do. Even when it comes to romance. And so if your love tank is dry, crusty, or even rusty, get back to it. Acts of romance can stir the passion once again. Okay? No matter how long it's been. But I will share with you one more warning. Typically, we'll go like, well, yeah, you got me on that one, Pastor Billy. I haven't really been romancing my spouse. It's been a while. I need to get back to that. Here's what happens. We think falsely that we need to wait until we feel romantic about our spouse before we start romancing our spouse. Give it up. That's why we're in the predicament we're in. It's the exact opposite. Watch this. This is the biblical pattern. Passionate feelings follow acts of romance, not the other way around. And if you're waiting for a feeling that hasn't been there for a while, you'll never do it. Passionate feelings follow acts of romance. Do what God says to do and watch it start kicking into gear. And it might be the whole difference in your marriage. Like this, watch this. A fellow came to see his pastor and he announced to his pastor his intentions of getting a divorce. And he told his pastor, hey, listen, pastor, I'm sorry, but it's no use. I loved her all right when we first got married, but it just seemed to completely have dried up. I can't go on living a lie, and so I'm just going to get a divorce. And so the pastor said, hey, listen, hold on. Don't you think you owe her something? And he goes, well, I guess, whatever, but what can I do about it? Watch this. The pastor said this. He says, let me make a suggestion. Since you feel you do owe her something, don't think about divorce for a whole month. Instead, during that time, do something nice for your wife every day. Buy her a bouquet, a box of chocolates, a new dress. Take her out to places she likes. Do the dishes for her and things like that. And the guy actually said, but pastor, she's going to think I'm crazy. He said, yeah, probably, but just do it. Just give it a try. So he agreed to try and he left. I kid you not. Watch this. A month later, he comes back. Only this time he was a little embarrassed and sheepish, rubbing his collar. And he says, pastor, I don't know how to tell you this, but I've fallen in love with my wife all over again. That's what happens, folks. If you don't remember anything, let's encapsulate it into this. Watch this. This is profound. If a man has enough horse sense to treat his wife like a thoroughbred, she'll never turn into an old nag. And it works both ways. Don't wait until you feel romantic before you romance, especially if it's been a while. Get back to doing it God's way, like that couple. And you're going to see passionate feelings follow acts of romance. And this is awesome, folks. This is God's standard, right? It's not just about us. It's about being a witness to the people around us. See, not just us existing in marriage. You don't have to live your life, even as a Christian, with silent suffering and personal pain. God didn't say it'd be easy. He said it's just going to take some time. It's going to take some work. Marriages ain't made in heaven, they're made right here. And if you just get back to romancing each other with these biblical methods, then you're not just having a marriage built to last, but a passionate marriage built to last. And that's a great witness to see Christian godly couples really in love with each other. Because you know what the lost don't have? They ain't got none of that. It's all messed up. And so our marriages can become a great witness to them. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for, again, our study today. Thank you for breaking out the Song of Solomon. Who knew that so much was in there? And we were just scraping the surface. It's a great relationship book for couples. And right there in the middle of the Bible. And maybe that tells us that that's at the heart of a healthy relationship. God, help us to apply these biblical principles, not just for us. Again, just to be a positive witness to the marriages that are crumbling, the homes that are crumbling, the wives, the husbands that are hurting because they're doing it the world's way, the wrong way, or what self wants to do. God, make us into those couples. Make us into that church that even how we, quote, do marriage will be used of you to lead people in salvation. But as always, maybe you're here today and maybe you've yet to take that first step and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior to become his bride. Today's the day. What are you waiting for? Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He's willing to forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done if you would just believe on what he did for you. He took the death penalty in your place. He's willing to forgive you of your sins to the point where it says, the Bible says, you will be considered spotless, blameless, a beautiful, beloved bride with a robe of righteousness, covered in white, like a wedding dress. But it came from him. The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you'll be saved. What are you waiting for? God loves you. And join us one day in the ultimate wedding of all called the marriage supper of the Lamb. You don't want to miss it. But thank you, God, for our study today. If souls need saved, please save them, including online. And again, may we not just hear your word, but be doers of it and be blessed in all we do, including in our marriages. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something. Right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.